Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and it seemed like it was, I don't know, just last February or so, we were talking about the Copper Dog 150, and lo and behold, it's coming right around the corner. We certainly got enough snow for it now, so it puts us in the mood to talk about it. Got some volunteer training coming up. We're going to talk about that as well. Joining me in studio right now to do that is Brian Donnelly from River Valley Bank, who's the volunteer organizer for the Copper Dog, and Dave Olson from Aspirus, who is on the Copper Dog board. Welcome, gentlemen, to the program.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Dave, let's start with you because you're on the board this year. Welcome, and I'm glad you're taking part in the Copper Dog. What's going to be happening new this year?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that are new, but a lot of things that are the same. The race is on. It's fantastic. There's just a huge amount of mushing teams and a lot of volunteers and a lot of the community out behind it. So everybody's really excited and gearing up for the race. It's on its way here. So the board and the volunteers are in the midst right now of really diving into the details of how the race is run and getting it organized and making sure that the sponsors are all on board and taken care of. And while Brian's here, I just want to speaking of sponsors, I think it's just fantastic that River Valley, as the lead sponsor of this race, has been so committed to the race and the community, and we're very thankful for them and all of our sponsors that are a part of this. Without them, the race doesn't happen. But what's new? Let me give you a couple of things. The first thing is that the race format has expanded a little bit. There's still the Copper Dog 150. That's a race that starts on Friday night, and it's the long race. It takes off and goes from Calumet to Eagle Harbor, and then it goes up to Copper Harbor, and then it goes and starts in Copper Harbor and comes back to Calumet. That takes place over the course of 3 days. There's also an expanded short race this year, and the reason why we've added on the short race format and expanded is because there's so many mushers out there that have six dog teams that want to participate in really honing their skills, and after talking to some of the other board members, what we're hearing is that they're gearing themselves up for maybe being in the bigger race and expanding their mushing teams. So this race is a real proving ground for them, and the short race format gives them the opportunity to do that. That takes off in Calumet. It starts off to going from Calumet to Eagle River, and then they take a day off, and then they also start back up in Copper Harbor and race back to Calumet. So it's adding that extra leg of the race and giving more mushers the opportunity to participate.
Yeah, that's a really big change. Our shorter Copper Dog race has always been sort of like our local version of the Midnight Run, where it was one stage and it was just it's all at night, and you run from Calumet to Eagle Harbor, I believe, and then you had your winner set for the night. Now, once they finish that first stage, then they're going to move up in Copper Harbor, which is great because one of the exciting things about the race is always that start. So now you get a second Copper Harbor start as well into this.
Oh yeah, and the other great thing about this is all the places where the race is. We're going to be encouraging people to check out this race wherever they can. It's the start of the race in Calumet's fantastic, and it's at night, and there's a whole bunch of things going on, including fireworks and stuff like that. But the idea of being able to go out and see that race late at night or at some of these other places, like going up to Copper Harbor to see that race start again on that Sunday coming back, is a really cool thing to do. So, we're encouraging everybody to plan on the Copper Dog. It's a great family event. It's a great thing to get out for, and there's plenty of opportunities to see where the race is happening. And keep your eye out for the publicity and the things that are coming up on the radio station here, in the paper. There's a lot of information that's going to be coming your way on how you can go check out the Copper Dog.
We're going to be talking more about the race here in a little bit, but first I want to bring back in Brian, not only from River Valley Bank, because we're a couple months ahead, we're about 6 weeks before the start of the race here as we're talking today, but you're going to be handling getting the volunteers organized, which is a huge part of the race. It doesn't happen without them.
Yeah, between myself and Beth Ann Connolly, who's the River Valley Bank manager in Calumet, I've been doing this for a few years. And we're putting the shout out there for volunteers. This is an event that's it requires about 400 volunteers, and the volunteers are really critical because mushing is a sport that does involve some danger. You know, both with the time out in the wilderness and the weather, and also at those road crossings. And the bulk of the, of those volunteers are manning road crossings, which serves two purposes. Of course, that those volunteers are going to make sure that there's not a collision between vehicles and mushers and their animals, but also they're keeping track of those racers' progress as they move throughout the race course. And it's really important to have those volunteers at those crossings, because they're going to let us know that all the mushers are still on course. They're keeping notes and making sure that there's not somebody that's gone off course and could possibly be lost in the woods. So it's really, really important. And our website at CopperDog150 is up, and you can volunteer for your favorite spot right now. So,
well, every year when we talk to mushers that come here and participate in this race, you ask them how was things, and almost all the time the very first thing they'll mention was that the people who put on the race did such a good job. They appreciate the volunteers that are out there at the crossings and the handlers there at the start of the race. Their efforts do not go unnoticed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these mushers, they travel from all across the country, and there's only so many mushing weekends every year, and they have to choose which races they're going to participate in. And over year after year, the mushers that come, they say that the reason that they come back to our race is because of the hospitality that they're shown for the whole time that they're in town, and particularly all along the race trail. The number of people that come out in our community and support this race, it's, you know, that this is the reason that we all live here. The people of this community, it's heartwarming.
What does it take to become a volunteer?
You know, one of the most important things is that you sign up. So so tell somebody that you're going to be someplace, and that is a really important part of the equation. We need to know ahead of time that all of these crossings are going to be staffed. So just planning to be there isn't enough. But if you've done it before, you know, one of the things that's probably important is to get to the training. The training is going to be on, the all-volunteer training is going to be at CLK High School on February 20th. I believe that's from 11 until 1 o'clock. And we're going to teach everybody how to handle a road crossing, how to signal to the mushers as they're coming through the crossings, and also how to handle the dogs. So at that training, there will also be a chance to handle a live dog team. Find out, you know, how the mushers want their animals handled. But getting to that training is critical. If you've been in the past, if you've been a volunteer in the past, it's okay to possibly miss that training. But if you haven't before, it's pretty important.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to have a refresher. Sure. You might learn something Absolutely. That you know, you didn't hear before. And people sometimes will switch roles where mm-hmm. one time they were a crosser mm-hmm. and they wanted to say, okay, well, this year I want to be a little bit closer to the dog. So they become a dog handler, or the opposite, because it gets so crazy down there in the chute. Mm-hmm. Some people said, okay, dog handling was a little nuts. I just want to, you know, give me a sign to hold or something.
Yeah.
Something this year.
Yeah. One thing to remember about those dog handling is this isn't your household pet. These are trained athletes. They've been training for most of the year, either pulling a sled or pulling a four wheeler. And that dog handling, especially on Friday night, it requires a pretty able-bodied person, somebody that can be bent over for a little while, and flat out somebody just that weighs a little bit. Smaller children that are, you know, under 14, weigh less than 100 pounds are probably going to have a hard time slowing down those dogs.
They might need to do something else yeah. around the race.
Yeah, you might have to strap some weights on their ankles or something.
And you better have a good pair of boots, too.
Yeah,
to,
good
you
pair
know,
of boots.
Keep you stable.
Yes, yeah. No spike heels.
You have your lead volunteer training on January 30th. That's up at River Valley Bank in Calumet from 10 a.m. till noon. Who will be attending that?
Well, part of the venue is going to be musher Matt Eberle, and he's going to come and talk to us about the sport in general, and also some of the survival equipment that the mushers carry in bags on their sleds. Actually, the race checks to make sure that the mushers are carrying all the important survival material, because once again, these mushers are taken off into the woods. There's lots of variables, and they need to be prepared if things don't go the way that they're supposed to. And we'll also have a lot of race staff there talking about their role in the race and what their experience is. We're always looking for more people to get more involved in the Copper Dog organization. You know, I can tell you from my experience that, you know, especially if you're a young person and you're playing that chicken or the egg game in your career where you're looking for jobs that require leadership experience, but you need to get that job to get the leadership experience. Getting involved with something like the Copper Dog is a great opportunity to be a leader on a big project and make some great connections. So you can learn about some of the bigger jobs beyond just, you know, the road crossings and things like that if you come to that lead volunteer training. But a big part of what we'll also talk about at that lead volunteer training is we do have some what I call regional lieutenants that will look after a couple of crossings along the line. We have a triple safety check at every single road crossing with Copper Dog to make sure that we don't have any sort of an incident where we've got a safety crew that's going to pass through every crossing. We've got one of these lead volunteer or lieutenants, regional lieutenants, they're going to pass through a crossing, and then the volunteers themselves to make sure that there's no crossings out there where they're not manned, so that the mushers come up on them and there's no volunteers there. We don't ever want that to happen.
Dave, every year when the registration opens up for this race, it fills up really quick right now. Where's it stand right now?
You know, I don't know exactly where it's at. The last time I checked, it was filling up pretty fast. I'm not sure if the event is full at this point.
I think there's a few spots for more mushers in the long race.
In the long race, yeah. I know that the moment they opened it up, it took off. So,
what I love about the people who participate in the race, if you ever tried to before, you know, if you weren't involved in something like this before, if you tried to picture in your mind what a dog musher looks like, and then you go to like the dinner where they all get their bibs, and you're looking around and you're looking for those people. There are a couple that look the stereotypical dog musher, but then you also see teenage girls, you know, doing this. You see young men, you know, high school age boys doing this. You see, you know, people that are more seasoned at it. You see, you know, women. It is really amazing the different kind of people that get involved.
Oh, it's a great amount of diversity. I know that Aspirus has had a nurse that mushed the race. I think you're going to hear a lot of stories like that, and it is a pretty far-reaching group. You know, I want to just kind of build on what Brian is talking about with volunteers and you know, how important this race is to this area and what you can be a part of with the Copper Dog. You know, the race itself is great for our community. It's a great time. It's great for families. It's a great thing to see. It's all of that, but it's a little bit more too. It's something that's gaining a lot of visibility. I know that at the state level, last year, I think our local representative brought up seven representatives from Lansing for the opening ceremonies. The Copper Dog is one of the components of this great Keweenaw that we live in that puts our mark out there. And the more we can support it and nurture it along and make sure that it's the best race it can be, the better off the overall area is. So I just want to make sure people knew that it's not just a great opportunity to volunteer and have some fun and do something cool, but it's also great for the community at large.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. I think that all of the race organizers have a couple of agendas when we're planning the Copper Dog every year, and one of them is to make this an economic event. We want to fill up our hotels for yet another weekend and fill up our restaurants and bring lots of visitors up here to see how wonderful a place the Copper Country is in the winter. And I've actually had the experience through the bank that we've had a couple of volunteers that have come up here to see the race and been up towards the north end of Keweenaw County in February, and they've decided, I think I could live like this, and they've moved up here because of that experience. And you know, that's you know, part of the product that we want to come out of this. It's a sled dog race, but it's so much more.
I'm a Calumet resident, and so, you know, I spend a lot of time in downtown Calumet going through, and I love Copper Dog Week, especially that opening day, just to see the revitalization, even though, you know, it's sort of like, you know, what you wish Calumet could be like every day. you know, packed with people, all the lights on, the street lights on, the store is open. I've talked to restaurant owners who, like you said, they tell me that that's their busiest night of the year, you know, that Friday. They do more business during that weekend, you know, that it's just, you know, such an impact economically for them. Mm-hmm. It's a festive time. They have the music playing, all the people that are out. Easily my most enjoyable weekend for Calumet. Mm-hmm.
It makes Calumet even better than it already is. You know, Calumet's a wonderful town. It's got a lot of character, and of course, great people. But this gives you a chance to enjoy that landscape of that town. It's a beautiful street. The lights are on. It's filled up with people. There's plenty of places to go. There's just a kind of a magic in the air. I think that's what you're enjoying with that. Mm-hmm. And I've heard words like spectacular and majesty and, you know, some really cool things that are said about that time. And it's all true.
Yeah, there's an electricity in the air.
Absolutely. You know, and I think one of the neat things about Copper Dog, too, Copper Dog is known in the musher community as a late season race. And also, I think that's important for us because Copper Dog comes along at that time of year. I mean, you know, if you live in the copper country, you better like winter. Otherwise, you're probably living in the wrong place. But even those of us that embrace winter and love it, you know, comes along at late February, early March, where you're far enough away from Christmas. You really just kind of need something to put a smile on your face. And you go up there Friday night to Calumet, and you hear those dogs that are so excited to pull those sleds. It's hard to not walk around with a big grin on your face.
The road that they build, the snow road in Calumet, now that's an amazing thing that they put together. Who does that?
The village.
The village does that.
Yeah, the village is actually one of our, we call it an in-kind sponsor. We have many sponsors that offer their time and support services to help the race run, and the village is one. Very thankful for their special efforts in making that happen. I know that it's a lot of work. You know, they literally put in a snow road. And it's elevated at the start there. I think it stays elevated all the way down the main street, and it's a significant effort. It involves a lot of bulldozers moving snow around at the very start.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this, just with the different sponsors that make this possible. And if somebody wants to be a part of this, how do they get involved?
Well, from a sponsorship standpoint, we're always welcoming new sponsors. And one of the things that if a business is interested in being sponsored, they could reach out to me directly. I'm working with some of the sponsors. And my name is Dave Olson again, and you can reach me at Aspirus. I won't give out my email on the air, but we also have, you can go to the website itself, and there's a couple places there where you can link into being a sponsor. But the sponsors that are stepping up the plate, I've already mentioned River Valley. We have a number of excellent sponsors. I don't want to start to list them off.
Because you're going to forget a couple of them.
Yeah. The other thing that from a sponsorship standpoint, I believe that the next opportunity for sponsors is to utilize the Copper Dog event in as part of how they talk to their customers as well. We have a lot of sponsors that are using Copper Dog. You know, like Rick, I'm sitting in your studio right now. I see Copper Dog stuff around. This radio station has been an active sponsor, its official media sponsor, and you're able to leverage the value of that Copper Dog brand and the Copper Dog event back to your business. So for sponsors that are out there thinking about, well, why would I be a sponsor of this event? It's not just about supporting the event, which is great for the community, but it's also about being associated with it and what that can mean to your customers.
Yeah, if you go around town and you keep your eyes open, you'll see the triangle shaped sled banners that sponsors have supported the race in the past, and you'll see them hanging on the wall. I see them hanging on your wall, and lots of businesses are really proud of that sponsorship. And after a couple of years, you're kind of demonstrating that you're supporting this event and really just supporting our area, the vitality of our area in general. It's great.
During that opening night in Calumet, especially, you have a lot of those street vendors. And if, you know, I've seen Kimono Coffee out there, I've seen Miller Lanes out there. Mm-hmm. If you're one of those businesses and you want to get involved in that scene, how do you do it?
Well, I think that the best thing, anybody that wants to get involved in being a vendor, supporting the race, they should reach out. They should probably reach out to me. I can't tell you for sure whether there's a link on the Copper Dog website for sponsorship address, and I don't have that thing handy, okay. So I wasn't anticipating that question.
I always like to keep you on your toes.
If somebody wants to get involved in sponsorship, if they email to volunteer@copperdog150.com, we'll make sure that gets the right person.
Yeah, and I might be off here, but I think sponsorship@copperdog.com is also a viable address. Okay. So
good place to start is probably the website. It's probably going to have a lot of information like that you can check out for yourselves. And certainly if you have additional questions, there's going to be contact information there. Somebody will get back to you and answer the question. If there's so many ways to get involved, whether it's on a sponsorship level, a personal volunteer level, mm-hmm. or if you just want to somehow get tied into it, like in a vendor situation, mm-hmm. There's you're not going to be excluded in something like this.
Yeah, the more people we can have participate in this event, the better. Yeah. And it keeps gaining momentum. It's had momentum. It keeps gaining momentum, and now it's starting to expand in format, and that's pretty cool too. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's impressed me over the years of covering this race is, I remember talking to, Todd Broussard and Doug Haar a few years ago when they were sitting in your guys' seats. And do you guys really enjoy racing dogs? I was like, oh, well, neither of us has ever been actually on a sled.
I've never been on a sled.
You don't have to be a musher to get involved in this race, and even if it's serving on the board and being involved, because it's more than that we got people to race the dogs. Mm-hmm. It's the other people that with other sets of skills that mm-hmm. are being used right now.
Yeah, well, Brad King, our current race director, is actually involved in the sport, but by and large, most of the people that put this race on, they do it out of a love for this community more than a love for the sport itself. And that's certainly why I'm involved is because like Dave said before, and like you said, I just love to see Calumet and all the towns north of there vitalized, lit up, and everybody having fun.
Yeah, and the opportunity came to be more a part of this event and the organization. The reason why I said yeah is because it's not because of the sled dogs and the mushers. I mean, that's, of course, the cornerstone of the event, but it's really because of the community vitality. I appreciate when a community can come together, and we have such a caring and giving and strong community, and you see everybody motivating towards it. I am impressed by that, and I want to be a part of great things like that. So I hope everybody gets that same mm-hmm. same gusto.
Is there any plans for, whether if it's not happening in this race, but those sort of wishes for things down the line that you're looking for?
Well, one of the things that that is also important is we want this to be a competitive race. So we're always trying to attract the most competitive racers across the country. So that's part of it. And we've done a really, really good job of that. With Bruce Magnuson and we've had racers from Alaska and Ontario and Minnesota. That's probably part of the wish list is just bringing in the most competitive racers.
Yeah, and that's on the race side. On the community and fun side, I think on a wish list would be how can we do more around the race itself, not with the race exactly, but around the race. The other things you mentioned, vendors. I know that there's a bonfire area. There's all around that supporting Calumet community, there could be many other things that we might do. I would encourage anybody that has a good idea, if you come up to the race and you see the volunteers and some of the race directors, you'll see them wearing their bibs. Mm-hmm. If you have an idea, it's like, hey, you know what I'd love to see here is XYZ. I think we want to hear that kind of thing and start to work on big ideas for next year and the year after.
Yeah, there's a lot of events that go on Saturday when Calumet's all decked out for Copper Dog, and that just came from people with ideas. Heather Mackey had an idea that she wanted to have people build dog houses and race them down the snow road when it's not being used by racers, and she went with that. And Jerry Mitchell had an idea for setting up some ice hockey in Agassiz Park, and he pushed it forward. So if you've got a great idea, the Copper Dog organization is there to work with you.
And that weekend's a great time to do it.
That weekend's a great time to do it.
Are you going to be having your event? It was at River Valley Bank you had every year where they have the big fluffy dogs there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a volunteer day. Is that part of the lead volunteer?
Yeah, that'll be part of the lead volunteer on the 30th.
Okay, so if you have kids that just want to come pet those dogs, is that a good day to come out and pet them?
I think that'd be the day, yeah.
Definitely. Definitely, but great day, great way to spend a Saturday afternoon. All right, for just run down the information again. So you have the Copper Dog 150 and the Copper Dog Short Race begins on February 26th, takes place over that weekend. February 26th, 27th, and 28th is when the mushers come back to Calumet from Copper Harbor on the Copper Dog 150. The all-volunteer training is February 20th, being held at the CLK High School. And the lead volunteer training is going to be at River Valley Bank in Calumet from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. We'll have all that information up on the community calendar at KeweenawReport.com for you to take a look at, plus a link to go to the Copper Dog website. If you have any questions, you can contact them, and they'll be happy to answer them for you. Dave, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.